This week is our fourth in a series of five on the book of Revelation. As we will hear in the words from chapter 11, verses 15 to 19, some will recognize some of the words from Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. Let the forever and ever resonate in your mind. God will reign forever and ever. God will win. Let yourself be drawn into the awe described, and at the same time, let your spirit be filled with the promise that God wins. These are words of hope. Starting at verse 15, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord, of his Messiah. And he will reign forever and ever. Then the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, singing, we give you thanks, Lord God Almighty, who are and who were, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath has come, and the time for judging the dead, for rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints, and all who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. And there were flashes of lightning, rumbling, peals of thunder, and earthquakes and heavy hail. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Writing the intro to the scripture this week, I couldn't help but think I was using the phrase chapter 11. I'm writing about chapter 11, and the words that are in chapter 11 are about joy and God's reign forever and ever. And it just felt like, you know, if you lean into the news, the rest of the story in Revelation, it does not feel like Hallelujah Chorus. It seems an awful lot like chapter 11, bankruptcy. So it was kind of fun to be able to do that and realize that the story that we get to read leans into the Hallelujah Chorus instead of leaning into bankruptcy. Let's see, where do I start? I wanted to start by doing a little quick conversation about this particular cross. All the crosses are part of the chrismons. The chrismons are on our tree during Advent, and all of the symbols on the tree are to represent God. But this particular one has three characters on it, and how many of you had Latin? Raise your hand if you had Latin. All right, I think in Latin, these are the first three initials of the phrase, Jesus, Son, Savior. Anybody remember their vocabulary enough to do Jesus, Son, and Savior? No? That's what the nuns told Carla, so it has to be right. Every once in a while, there's something hidden in the symbols. And it's good for us to know what the symbols mean because it helps us decode what it is that we're actually saying. If we're not careful, we read Revelation and we go, oh my gosh, it's going to go crazy. And we get captured by the shiny objects that steal our focus. But last week I reminded us that there is this thread of Jesus the Messiah woven in the midst of the crazy that's part of Revelation. And that thread reminds us of the same thread that's on the blue thread. Well, I'm wearing what color today? So what do you think you're talking about today? Hope. Blue is for us in the Christian church and for our Jewish brothers and sisters, the color of hope. Now, it is a particular blue, so don't get caught off guard if somebody wears something that's Duke blue or Carolina blue or Michigan blue or some other blue. They may have something else in mind. They may be praying for a Messiah to come to their team and help their team. But we won't talk about that game. It was rough. One of the pieces of information I think that can change your whole view on the book of Revelation is to realize that the main theme is a word that's not even included. It's all aimed at the word hope. The whole theme of Revelation is hope. Hang in there. God will win. Without saying the word, John spends the entire book of Revelation encouraging Christ followers to focus on hope. In symbols and in codes, using visions of the future as well as the traditions of God's actions with God's people in the past, John lets true hope fill in where the world's hope fades. If you are reading along, I invite you to look for signs where you see a sense of hope, because it's hidden in plain sight. Words like very soon, or patient endurance, or something that really sounds like hang in there, it's almost time. Those are words of hope. Do you live a life of hope? Do you live in a human style of hope, or do you know the hope that is a different kind of hope, kingdom hope, resurrection hope, that really comes from knowing who Jesus is and that God loves us? Hope is a very powerful thing. If you take away hope from someone who is otherwise healthy in body or mind, their body or their mind will begin to wither and fade if you take away hope. You give hope to people who are in the worst possible places. POWs or burn patients or trauma patients. Give them a little bit of hope. Even us, if we have broken bodies or broken spirit, hope can give us new life. A number of years ago, a publication called Bits and Pieces shared a story about the power of hope. A school system in a large city had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork while they were having stays in the city's hospitals. And one day, a teacher who was assigned to that program at a particular hospital received a routine call from a teacher asking her to visit a particular child. She took the child's name down in the hospital number, room number, and talked briefly with the child's regular class teacher. "We're studying nouns and adverbs in class now," the regular teacher said, "and I'd be grateful if you could help him understand them so he doesn't fall too far behind." The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that afternoon. No one had mentioned to her, though, that the boy had been badly burned and was in incredible pain. She was so upset at the sight of this boy suffering from these intense burns that she stammered as she told him, "I have been sent by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs." When she left, she felt like she hadn't accomplished much. But the next day when she returned, the nurse asked her, "What did you do to that boy?" The teacher felt she must have done something wrong, so she began to apologize. "No, no," said the nurse, "you don't know what I mean. We've been worried about that little boy, but ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back, responding to treatment. It's as though he has decided to live." 2 weeks later, the boy explained that he had completely given up hope until the teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to one simple realization. He expressed it this way: "They wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they? In Revelation, Christ followers are told that this soul-crushing, sometimes life-taking persecution from Rome is coming to an end, and that the end will be soon. Just be patient. Endure. Be faithful. Keep reading. Endure patiently. Keep reading. Remain faithful. Endure patiently. It is hard for us all to live without hope. When we are born, our parents are filled with hope. All the possibilities, all the potential. Non-Christians experience that same kind of hope with their children, but Christians add a layer of kingdom hope which rests on the realization that even before birth, our children, our child, this child is and always will be claimed by and loved by God. This child is God's child. You are God's child. Your children are God's. No matter what we do, no matter what we do, good or bad, God claims us and loves us and is with us. No matter what happens, God wants the best for us. God wants the best for our children. God has a dream for us, and God is in control. That's the kingdom hope we hear in Revelation. God has this. Hang in there. As we grow in the faith, we develop a greater and greater awareness of kingdom hope. I believe our Christian lives are stronger when we learn to distinguish kingdom hope from the wishful thinking hope of the world. When we fall in love, we humans, our whole beings are dominated by anticipation and the future in front of us. It's a special kind of hope. But this layer of hope is a layer that we all have. It's human hope. Kingdom hope rests on the unconditional and already proven love of God. Kingdom hope rests on God's promises and on God's actions. Not anything you do, not anything I do. It's all on God. The empty cross proves God's love for us and offers us unconditional love and kingdom hope. When we age, our bodies weaken. We may struggle with sickness, with cancer. Our eyes, our ears, our minds, our backs. Have I missed anything? Knees. This is the place where, the list goes on and on and on. Let's call it aging. I'm not real happy with that. This is the time as we age and suffer and go through illnesses that the world's hope, human hope, seems to fade. For some reason, we thought we were going to live like we were 25 years old for the rest of our days and never die. But the hope of Christ followers and those times when our bodies are showing signs of age, the hope of Christ followers gains some momentum. There are promises that await us. New life awaits. There are more promises ahead. And as we have lived our days, we have learned over and over that God's promises seem to unfold in ways that sometimes we can't anticipate. And all of a sudden, we're looking back over our lives and say, God's promise worked here and here and here and here. And we begin to say, so what makes me think it's not going to work here and here and here in the days to come? Kingdom hope lives in the present, but it has this deep and abiding connection to God. And with God's past and God's history with humanity and with God and God's future, it is more than anticipation. It's more than wishful thinking or wondering what may come. Kingdom hope, Christian hope is not. I sure hope so. That's what I mean when I say human hope. Jesus confronted us about which kind of hope we have when Jesus asked us why we worry or why we are anxious. Reminding us that God cares for us and knows us so well that God knows the count of hairs on our heads. For some of you, that's a deeper commitment from God than others of us. Kingdom hope is confidence in tomorrow. It's expectation. It's expectation in the day after that and the day after that. Christian hope is not wishful thinking. Kingdom hope is confidence in a known future. In the end, God wins. That's all Christian hope. If God's going to win, and we believe God is, then we have hope. I want you to listen to some voices of kingdom hope. Paul writes, listen to hope in this. I know that we get captured in this meaning something else, but listen to hope. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And you remember that when we use the word love in the New Testament, it almost always is unconditional love endures all things. Unconditional love never ends. Love hopes. God's love gives us kingdom hope. Our love gives others hope. Paul ties together hope and faith and love. And then Peter, in 1 Peter, reminds us that we have a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. I love that birth and hope are put together because for us, birth and hope almost always go together. Give us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Birth and resurrection. Our hope is built on the foundation of a crucified and resurrected Christ. Resurrection hope offers us a different future and allows us, Christ followers, to grow more and more confident as we witness God's promises fulfilled. And we trust more and more that the rest of God's promises will also be fulfilled. And Graham Lotz put it this way, if God can bring blessing from a broken body of Jesus and glory from something that's as obscene as the cross, he can bring blessing from my problems and my pain and my unanswered prayer. I just have to trust him. Billy Graham shared Kingdom Hope when he said, I've read the last page in the Bible. It's going to turn out all right. Maybe if that's the only thing we remember, we live into kingdom hope. G.K. Chesterton reminds us that and says, hope means hoping when things are hopeless or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. We teach about hope on days that we don't need to teach about hope, so that days when we need hope, we're prepared to bring hope to the party. Don't look at the baby, I'm over here. When we Christ followers use words like trust and assurance, we are living on faith and on hope. in faith and hope, we see that God has a known future unfolding. God is in control, and tomorrow is God's as well. Easter joy is kingdom hope. Hope is the future tense of Easter joy. If you really experience the true joy of Easter, it explodes both into the past and redeems the past and changes the future and sets the whole course of humanity in a different direction. That's Christian kingdom, resurrection, hope. Easter is hope reborn, renewed. For Christ followers, for Christians living the resurrection life, living in the days following Easter, hope is the whole palette onto which we paint our lives. It is the foundation. Kingdom hope finds great power in remembering God's fulfilled promises and knowing that there are more promises of God yet unfulfilled. Kingdom hope is powered by an empty tomb. When we read Revelation, it is worth asking ourselves if we are still waiting to see the hope of those ancient Christ followers rewarded. But I'm willing to tell you that I believe the church today is God's fulfillment of their hope realized. We are living proof that their hope, their patient endurance, those folks who were in the midst of persecution, that their patient endurance has paid off. Imagine if Revelation was never written. That it wasn't written in the right kind of code, and so all Christ followers were destroyed under the Roman Empire. We would not sit here today if it weren't for those folks who made it through the storm. During some of the darkest days that Christians have ever worked through, we do not have to wait until Christ comes on the clouds to have hope. You see, we are already the legacy of hope. Kingdom hope rests on the foundation of God's love. The tangible, real gift of God's love was opened for us on earth in the birth, the death, and resurrection of the one we call Jesus. And Revelation refers to as the Lamb of God. The church survived the Roman Empire. Revelation and John were right. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground, sinking sand. On Christ I stand. On Christ I rest my hope. Let us pray. Gracious God, give us once more a gift of grace and hope that allows us to see your future for us, and that we are able to live a life of hope, and a hope that is bigger than all the storms, all the suffering, and all the pain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.